All right. There we go.
Then check this out.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you come?
I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 531 of the Overseas Connection podcast. Today is June 16th, 2019. We are all suffering from E3 hangovers, and we are broadcasting every weekend, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, 3 p.m. in the Central Time Zone, 1 p.m. on the West Coast. I think I already said that. See? Hungover. And it's Sundays, of course. Every Sunday, we broadcast. Find us on twitch.tv/OC podcast or mixer.com/OC podcast. Occasionally, we might actually make it onto YouTube when they like us. Other than that, you can catch the podcast in audio format if you happen to miss us live, or just watch it again. Watch it in, on VHS, on Betamax. All popular formats I hear. All right. My name, Greg DeLacy, OC underscore Murphy's Law. Murphy's Law on Xbox Live. Yes, an OG Murphy's Law. On today's show, we not only have myself, but we have the returning hostess with the mostest, Robin Tate.
Hey, it's me. Hello there. Just if I can set the record straight, when you see a potato, okay, do not think of me saying this.
Potato!
That is not me, okay? That is Mark Wright. Sarah, do you hear me? That is not me. Okay, but it's terrible now that when you think of me, Robin Tate in Ballymena at Bongo the Sane, that sound automatically appears in your head. I hate you people. Hello, everybody. It's good to be back onto the show. And here we are. It's all boys' night, so woohoo.
It is. In fact, it's Father's Day, but we'll get into that in a moment. Also on the show today, we have Mr. Mark Wright, our engineer in studio.
Yeah, hello, Greg. Yeah, not engineering very well tonight. We are not getting any broadcasts on YouTube thanks to shitty Restream. And we've only got chat for Twitch. So, yeah, if you want to join in the chat, you have to be on Twitch, unfortunately. But, yeah, okay. That's what are you going to do.
What are you going to do? Mark, you are now officially on notice. Next it's up, so...
I've noticed for...
Tomorrow. You're sacked. That's last but certainly not least, 13, number 13, joining us, Peachin.
Oh, hey, Ginger Balls.
Hey. Thanks for having on again. Number 13 as well.
Yeah.
Unlucky for some. Well, unlucky for you.
That's true.
I don't know. This ginger thing is getting a bit thin, isn't it? Pete, isn't it? I mean, it's bound to be.
I am going to go, bald. But, you
know, oh, yeah, shit. Christ almighty, I take it back. Fuck me, going bald ginger, there's nothing worse. There really isn't. It's sad, sad ginger. It's not fair. Everybody should love a ginger, even one that comes on to the Overseas Connection podcast. Hello, darkness, my old friend.
I've come to talk with you. Oh, dear. You know, you're great to come on here. Happy Father's Day, everyone.
Yes, happy Father's Day to everybody. Pete, by the way, several requests came through. Please do not take your shirt off again.
I'm sorry.
That was one of the most disturbing things that happened to me last week.
I thought he still had a t-shirt on when he took that off.
I know. Literally was like, oh, he's got a shirt on underneath. Oh my God, help me take it. all right. Well, hopefully we can entertain as much as we were entertained last week. I don't know if anybody was entertained by our podcast last week. We played over the Microsoft E3 conference. I think ultimately We probably were better off just taking the weekend off and allowing people to enjoy the conference without our rather unique spins on the
yeah,
oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. What's going on? We have no audio.
No audio.
No. Oh, you'll have to edit it. You'll have to edit it then, Mark.
Look, I'm recording. What it is, yep, the fucking OBS update, it's defaulted my audio settings.
Well,
right,
do you want to...
Thank you, Scott Stubby. Apologies. Yeah, no audio because OBS had an update before we went live, and like a Muppet, I didn't check, and it had defaulted my audio settings.
Mark,
I'm fired.
No. Sorry, Scott Stubby. It actually is all in your head. There's been audio this entire time.
We've all heard each other. Yep.
You are officially going crazy. Sorry.
You suck!
No, thank you for telling us that. All right. Happy Father's Day to anybody who is a father. And if you are not a father yet, you lucky bastards. we've got some birthday announcements. A couple birthdays coming up here. Pete Landymore. I was going to say Pete Ladymore for a second, then I checked myself.
He's a lady.
Yeah, Pete, turning a fine young age of 73 on Wednesday. Congratulations on that. I do have a slight bit of dyslexia sometimes. Also, Jim Martin, he has a birthday coming up next Saturday. So it will be too early, something like that for our next podcast. So we'll just say happy birthday now. So happy birthday, Jim Martin. Let's get into story time. Let's talk stories.
Hooray, it's story time. Hooray, it's story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
I just want to tap that song. I really do.
Yes, Father's Day. So what happened for Father's Day? Because as far as I'm aware, all of us are registered fathers here and licensed fathers. And so did anything happen for you guys for Father's Day? Like, did anybody call the door and say, hey, you don't know me, but I'm your daughter? All right.
No, I got a nice T-shirt today. Nice gaming T-shirt. It says,
oh, so die.
I'm a gamer dad, like a normal dad, but only cooler.
Okay. I've got a DeLorean.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I got a book on the artwork of Atari, which is really,
ooh,
really cool.
Wow.
I see all of the cartridge covers had the beautiful artwork, and it looked fantastic. And you looked at the artwork and you went, wow, I can't wait to play this game because it looks absolutely fantastic. And then you played the game and it was like,
have you got an Atari?
Oh yes, I have the original Woody. I have the original Woody. It's up. If you can see it behind me, the original box.
One, yeah.
And I got a nice T-shirt to go along with it as well, and some aftershave, and that was good. Diesel aftershave is strange, isn't it? I mean, Diesel. You want to smell Diesel?
I've had enough of Diesel at work. I don't know how you can put up with that shit.
I like the bottles that come in there.
It's like a fist. It's like a little fist.
Yeah. I've got one holding a hand grenade and another one with tattoos on. And
well, the fist will be handy when when it's.
It's not even got a hole in, so.
Oh dear.
I have a golf game coming for myself, so that's exciting. And had a fantastic dinner last night. We actually celebrated Father's Day a little early. So went out to a wonderful steakhouse last night, had a fantastic bottle of wine, spent way too much money on food, but it was so good.
You didn't spend any money on fucking tickets, or did you? For foreigners?
No, the night before. That was the night before. So let's talk about it. So the night before, my wife says, hey, Foreigner is playing at Thunder Valley Casino. You want to see if we can just go get some tickets last minute? Because we weren't planning on going at all. So it was myself, my wife, and my son. And so I said, sure, why not? Let's go for it. So we drove down to the casino, go to the office. No tickets. Completely sold out. But the parking lot for the casino is right next to their outdoor amphitheater. So we spent the evening dancing, hanging out, kind of walking back and forth between our car and the beer cart because they were selling beers outside the amphitheater. So we were getting beers. We were listening to the concert. I mean, we couldn't have been any closer unless we were inside it. So it worked out perfectly.
I have to say, Greg, I'm not...
Do you know if you do that in Birmingham, you get arrested?
He's stealing
their
property.
That's what I love about America. Yeah. I want to go to America.
I am not at all impressed by Thunder Valley. Thunder Valley? Yes.
Right.
The casino. I phoned them multiple times, left messages for them to come back to me to try and get you tickets. And that's why we ended up with the cinema thing and all that there. Yeah, I don't know if you ever used those or not. But I tried to get... Because when I was snooping on your house, Thunder Valley's just round the corner sort of thing, over the fields and blah, 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 past the park. And again, they would never come back to me. So that's terrible.
It could be because all they heard was potato, but
you can't. You know what's coming. And you know what? You might be right because the message voicemail was like, "Hiya, it's me. My name's Robin. I'm from Ireland. I'm trying to get my friend some tickets. Blah blah blah." You know, yeah, maybe.
Yep. It is an Indian casino, so there's a difference between Indian casinos and regular casinos, like in Vegas. Indian casinos kind of they try to get every last nickel out of you, whereas in Vegas they're more than happy to give you free alcohol just to get you drunk so you'll gamble more because they know they'll make you that. And that's I think where the similarities stop or the differences stop, and then everything else is pretty much the same. They've got blackjack, they've got poker, they've got all the slot machines in the world, and also their fair share of smoke lingering in the air because everybody that goes to a casino for the most part smokes.
Yeah, I find that really weird and disconcerting. Really disconcerting. When I was in Vegas last year, year before last, that, you know, everywhere, you know, no smoking everywhere, and you go into a lot of these lovely casinos, and they stink. And that's like stepping back 15 years or 20 years now of, you know, because that it doesn't jive. And they say, well, maybe all the hardcore gamblers all smoke. But I don't know.
Is that what it is? What does it stink of?
Smoke. Like a bar from 15 or 20 years ago, Pete. It's just, yeah. He's beautiful, like Caesar's Palace, all those places. Yeah. You go into the gambling, not in the shops or anywhere around it, but as soon as you go into the slots and the tables, stinks of smoke.
I won't forget, I was actually out in New York for a business trip, and this is way back when, and ESPN had their ESPN zone right there in Times Square. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to go have lunch at ESPN, The Zone. You know, it was kind of one of those like little things, bucket list check.
Yeah.
And I was out in California at the time. California had passed all of their no smoking laws in restaurants. New York, not so much. I had no idea. So I go into this restaurant and I sit down and I get my nice, lovely lunch. And I'm this wall of TV screens showing all kinds of sports in front of me. And I'm all excited. And I go to start taking my first bite of my food, and this guy sits down right next to me at the bar top, lights up a cigarette, and starts, you know, eating right next to me. And I'm just like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, and then it dawns on me. There's ashtrays all over the place. Smoking in restaurants, that kind of thing. So,
yeah, it is a strange oddity thing. It is odd.
Well, thankfully, the world is getting smarter, and they are, you know, look, if you smoke, hopefully you are on your way to not smoking, because if you are still smoking and you know it's not good, it's just not good. You will be better off without it. All right. So I'm going to finish out what I did over this past week. So I flew out to Dallas, had a work trip in Dallas. The crazy thing is I flew in about 12 hours just after Dallas had this crazy 45-minute windstorm hit downtown Dallas. The winds like hit upwards of 80 miles an hour. It knocked over a 300-foot crane that killed somebody. I mean, it was crazy.
Well, I've seen that in the news, yeah.
And then it just completely went away. I mean, I flew in, no problems. I had no idea this all had taken place until I went to the hotel, and they still had a bunch of people.
crane in your room?
Yeah, sorry, we're still cleaning up. Dallas was fantastic though. Lovely city. They're really putting a lot of money into downtown Dallas to really revamp it. A lot of it feels really new. which I always love when cities feel kind of new and they're clean, and you can tell they're making an effort to make it.
It's not one of those like San Francisco. What do they call it? They call them sanctuary cities or whatever it is. Dallas would not be one of those. Definitely not.
No,
and
New York. I find both those cities cool on the checkbox to go visit. You know, you did it, but if you spend any amount of time walking through those cities, and San Francisco, I feel like, is kind of worse than New York.
Oh, it's terrible. Sorry.
They stink. They have huge homeless problems, garbage everywhere. And I think San Francisco is probably worse just because the weather is better year-round. So the homeless people want to go to a city that they know that they can hang out pretty much year-round and not going to have a problem. Anyway,
and LA is terrible. It's homeless anyway. But that's another. Sorry, that's another sad thing. So, yeah. Okay. Cool.
Mark, what did you do this past week?
Well, the week before, when I wasn't on the show, I had a week away at a nice, peaceful area called Flamborough in East Yorkshire on the coast, and it was beautiful. We had really good weather all week. We had some really nice long walks with the dogs. It's just a fantastic week away. I come back for a nice week at home and watch a bit of E3, and it's pissed it down every frigging day. So we've been stuck in the house for a full week doing nothing apart from gaming. But yeah, I've managed to cut the grass this afternoon after a week of waiting for the rain to subside. So yeah, one good week and one bad week.
Mark, I feel we need to talk about this right now. So I'm not sure. Hopefully people are going to be able to see this on my screen here.
Wow.
Okay. This is basically...
That's the small one.
Right. My nephew came up Wednesday, James. So he's up at the moment staying at my mum's. So we all went out Friday night to the local eatery place, pub thing. They've got some special burger offers on at the moment, and that was one of them. Heart attack burger.
That was like six onion rings and three burgers and wrapped up in a bun and cheese.
Right, so bottom one's a beef burger. Then there's a bacon burger, then a chicken burger, then pulled pork, and then four onion rings on top. It was frigging gorgeous as well, and I ate all mine. Yeah, Jay and James didn't eat theirs. They couldn't eat it all.
This is my thing. I asked Mark, so you guys are sharing this?
He thought that was between three of us.
Okay. One other question. Tell me you got fries as well.
Oh, two, right. Yeah, with cheesy bacon bits on.
Did you really?
Yeah. Oh, my God. It was only you get a little smaller metal bucket, and I had cheesy sauce and bacon bits on mine.
I had about three or four of Madeline's fries the other day when she went to McDonald's, and I felt really bad. Like, I felt guilty that I'm packing these carbs there, me, and I'm...
Yeah. Diet's back on tomorrow. Back at work tomorrow, so...
Fuck.
I'm on my,
he's trying to shape up for you, Greg. Yeah. He's shaping up for your arrival.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. All right. Let's see. Pete, why don't we go to you?
Okay. Mine might look a little bit strange on the show notes, but Shell got a new job, and she doesn't really like it that much. So I think she's going to be moving on very quickly. But it's just one of those things. She got sold a golden job, and it wasn't that great. But anyway, she's looking elsewhere. So when I was talking last week about an emotional weekend, I went to visit my auntie who's got dementia, and she's at the stage where she's forgot me now. It was just one of them things, you know. It's horrible, isn't it? But she's at a nice place. They're looking after her, and I'm just a bit sad that it's got to that point. And anyway, I love it a bit. Swimming, I'm still going every day. I'm still going. I'll say that I'm still going every day. The lifeguard assured me that it was going to be closed today, so I didn't go today. They seem to be understaffed on Sunday, so I didn't go today. I've had a day off, and it's Father's Day, so I've been drinking a bit of wine, and why not, eh? Let your hair down. And last night I went to my friend's birthday. He's 40, so yeah, I went out for Rasta's 40th. Right. I don't know why we call him Rasta. It's stuck with him for a long time.
Does he have dreadlocks?
Please tell me he's pure. Please tell me he's pure white.
He is pure white.
Okay. Yeah.
We went out for Rasta's 40th, and do you know what? Oh my God! A glass of wine in Birmingham is £7 now. £7 for a for a glass of wine.
You can buy a bottle for that, can't you?
I know. Of course you can. I only had about, is it three or four drinks? I think. I didn't have much.
The glass is about like mega. It's a bucket.
No, it's not. No, it really wasn't.
Wine glasses and bars have got like three. I mean, it's like half a bottle you get on a glass now. It's big glasses. No.
They've got measures for them. You're blowing that out of proportion. Goodness. No,
it was Blue Nun, was it? Black Tar. No.
No,
you're better off.
Blossom Hill.
£7 for a glass of wine. It was disgusting. And the thing that really, really ticked me off was the you know, as you call them, Greg, bartenders, that they were pouring the wine into the measure. And when they poured it into the glass, they were spilling it all over the place, all around the glass, all over the bar. And I'm like, what the friggin' hell are you doing? I'm paying for that. And you're just throwing it around like it's nothing. Yeah, I was annoyed. So I didn't drink that much last night. It was naughty. Yeah.
Dear.
Yeah. I catch. So at a nice restaurant.
Oh, we went out for drinks. We didn't go out to eat. I had my children yesterday, so I didn't get up to Birmingham until 8 o'clock in the evening. But they were out since 12:30 in the afternoon. So
what a bar tab.
They were pretty much done when we got there, but we stayed out until 11:30, and that was it for them then. But
be it for me, I can't get past 10 o'clock these days.
No,
I'm tired.
We were sensible. We went up there late in the evening, and it was okay. It was just a nice few hours, just to celebrate his 40th and. It's good to see some old friends. So, yeah, that's where I'll be up to.
Excellent.
Pete, you know, for Shell and her job, you know, I'm a businessman, as you know. I know business terms like meeting and envelope. So I've got a very, very good strategy for her. So what she has to do, she has to analyze, strategize, and succeed. I call it the ass method. So, definitely you can just pass that on, you know, so analyze, strategize, succeed. The ass method, it works every time. Okay.
I think she should bring that actually to her boss. I feel very uncomfortable with that. Like, what about this ass method? Can we talk about it?
You know, with what I've heard back from what she's talked about the company, I don't think he'd be too phased, actually.
Oh dear.
Yeah, they're a bit hillbilly-ish. Yeah, I don't know. It sounds pretty dodgy. But anyway,
all right.
I went to a laundry. Do you know what? I went to a laundrette today, and I'm thinking to myself,
beautiful laundrette.
I might open a laundrette. Local. Why? To me. There's not one anywhere around, and they seem pretty. Well, you can leave it. We went in there today, right? And there's no staff. Why? The shutters are down, apart from the actual shop door being open. The front door's open, and you can go in and you can use the machines. Nobody's in there. There's no staff. It's just being monitored by CCTV.
Why were you in there? Why were you in?
Yeah, do you not have a laundry machine in
here? We've had tons of rain and we needed to dry a load of washing. So
okay.
No, sorry, Pete. So something that you need to understand, especially here in the States, a lot of people have washer and dryers in their homes now.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean,
well, most UK tumble dries tend to catch fucking fire over here.
Yeah, true. There is that. And the other thing is, you know, I like to think of the environment and sustainability, and I like to dry washing outside if I can.
Right.
But if not, then we have to go to a laundrette. So there's a laundrette, and it's a few mile out, but we go there, and we went there today. So it's not staffed. It's got cameras up and blah, blah, blah. And I thought to myself, okay, this is somebody's business. They've got all these dryers out. There was loads of dryers and washers just all going at the same time, people going in and out. And I was just thinking, I could do this. I could get a place.
Do you remember the old Levi's advert, you know, where you went in and take jeans off, put them in? You could do that with your T-shirt, take it off and sit there. Nobody would know. You're right. Look, because when I go and pick stuff up from the dry cleaners, it's got extremely expensive. I mean, I remember years ago when I was a lad on the town, I would have dropped all my, you know, my silk shirts in, my pink silk shirts and all my silk shirts, got them done all every week. Couldn't do that now. Even a suit's like, God, 15 or 20 quid to get a suit done. It's just nutballs. But what's got really popular over here now is washing machines and dryers that are at petrol stations, gas stations, or in supermarket car parks. These big, like 3 massive big machines outside, and you put your stuff in it, and you go away for an hour or so, and come back again. And they're like where you have the bottle banks and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've only seen that in one place in Birmingham, Chinatown. That's the only place I've seen it.
Wait, okay, hold on.
Like a big vending machine.
Is this a gaming podcast?
Right. Yeah, I know. Yeah, so it's life.
Really?
But anyway, I want to open a laundrette.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so better idea. Don't do the laundrette because that's going to cost you a lot of money to get the machines and equipment in. Just go buy a freaking dirt lot, put some stone down, make it a parking lot. Charge people for parking. Just get it in a nice popular place.
Christ, you're fucking wow.
There's not enough anyway in this
system. It's the ass method in action. He analyzed, strategized, and he will succeed.
Being so much of an ass.
Anyway, for me this week, Greg, it's been a crazy busy week. My work life has just really hectic. I've just managed to get 3 big stores open. Or 2 big stores and a wee one, but really busy. And I'm now thought, I'm going to have a couple of weeks grace while the next big installations come. But just in the middle of multiple mega 6-figure deals all over the place, and it's getting more and more complex. But it's great fun. So, but news of EGX, an update on EGX. As we know, our Lord, our Master, the man I bow down to, and bend over with many an occasion, is coming to London for EGX this year.
Right.
Also, so this is the reason why you have to come. Even if you're coming for one day in an evening or one day, you got to come down because Greg will be like signing autographs and taking photographs, £20 at a time. But, you know, no problem. Also, Seth McNitt has confirmed he is coming from America's to the England's as well.
And
which is fabulous news. And confirmed this week, Fraser Moores from Canada, blame Canada, because they're kicking him out. He is also coming to EGX this year. He got permission from his boss. You know exactly who I'm talking about. Not his boss, his boss. And he is flying over and he will be there on all day Saturday and Saturday evening. And he's staying in the celebrity podcast Big Brother house for an evening, which is getting like just silly.
Yeah, it's getting a bit cold now. Where's everyone sleeping?
We've got blow-up beds.
So that's EGX. So come to EGX this year. Meet the guys from the States. They're now making an effort to get over here. Get down. Okay. So I want to talk about last night and what happened to me. So about 10 o'clock last night, Judith went off to bed and I came out to here. And I thought, oh, I'm going to play a game and play with somebody online and have a bit of crack. But I started to fart about and wondered where I was going to do. And I fired up Mass Effect 3 for some strange reason and went through the very... It was my save point was at the very end before the last mission, and I ended up sitting back with a wee drink and watching Going to Bed with a Wee Blue Girl again, which is quite strange that it saved that point there. I don't remember doing that. And then I fired up Master Chief because this week, I was just talking about before the show, behind me I bought, just like Greg has, the Master Chief head, which came in the Legendary Edition of Mass Effect 3, the game. And
it
I've
didn't
seen
come
one
with Mass Effect 3. It came with Halo.
Halo 3. I'm in a Gum 3, and I was in Belfast yesterday, and I said, oh, well, this guy, and I've done a wee deal with him, and it's in perfect condition. And I thought, I've always wanted one of those, and I picked it up. And I put it into my head to play Halo, and with E3 this week and the Halo stuff, put it in my mind. So I had a save with ODST, and I started playing a few chapters. But where I went very, very wrong is... I'm also going back to Lake Garda in Italy in 6 weeks' time or so, 7 weeks' time, and I had some beautiful, really gorgeous limoncello, which is a gorgeous drink. Yeah, I'm made from lemons in the area, but it's very, very potent.
Right.
So I'm sitting with this lovely wee glass, and I think I put myself two fingers, and I'm playing away, and I go through a chapter, and I go, oh, I'll get that again, and I have a drink, lift my glass, and go, oh. Right, okay, I'll go and try again. I died there. So pour a bit more, and I poured a bit more, and my jaw started to get a bit numb. And then I poured a bit more, and I poured a bit more. And to the point where I started to get really, really bad at Halo. So I finished...
Even more bad than...
Even worse. So much... You can look at my record. You can see I was playing Achievements Pop last night. Anyway, and ODST is brilliant game. Talking about it in a minute. So then I switched it off and fired up eBay.
Oh, God.
This I bought...
Making sense.
I bought an Ouya.
Really?
Which I've owned before. Yes. I bought an Ouya.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Why? Because for my shelf.
Okay. For the show?
You know, the store's just been closed and it's now completely dead.
Collector's piece, I'm sure. Yeah, yep. Yeah. So I bought a t-shirt. And this t-shirt says, I love tractors.
Jesus.
I only realised all this morning when I looked at my email.
You don't remember ordering it?
Yeah, yes. T-shirt, no. Then that was eBay. I also bought a paddle board from Amazon.
A paddle board?
A paddle board. An inflatable paddle board at 275 quid. Which looks brilliant and I'll take it to Italy, but I had no idea that... I know I was looking at them, but I went on and ordering... It was in my wish list, but I ended up...
275
quid! 175
quid
for that, 39 quid for a new year.
That's an expensive drink.
Oh, jeez.
An expensive drink.
But out of it all, I mean, I'll use the paddleboard because I'm so good at it last year, and it'll come with this diddly. The Ouya will be a pride of place. But the most
random... You can use it on the Thames.
That's an oxymoron, isn't it?
The most random thing that I've ever bought, and I have no understanding why I bought it, was the I Love Tractors t-shirt.
But you've got a Land Rover, haven't you? That's a tractor.
Anyway,
I love that you bought the shirts.
Jeez. Help me. All is lost.
Can we just go back quickly to Pete's wine glass? He like filled it all the way up to the very top, and he slowly. But you've been doing damage on there.
What about it?
My point at this with you, Pete, is why bother with the glass at this point? Why not just drink it
out of the bottle? Yeah.
Anyway, that's me. So I'm rough as a badger's arse this morning, and of course, as you know, as fathers with the wives at home or wives to be at home, you cannot show suffering in any shape or form. So I quickly delved downstairs this morning, beat the penicillin into me, and of course, everything's rosy. And yeah,
no suffering nor copies of anything else.
No.
All right. Wow. I think we can move on. By the way, I will have an update on the war against the Molfers. Now that's what I'm calling them.
It's got stubby my chats, but I drive tractors every day and I won't buy a fucking T-shirt.
I've never driven a tractor. I see them going down a road.
I love it. Yeah, so we'll have that update next week. For now, let's get into actually talking about video games, because this is, after all, a video game podcast.
Oh, yeah. You'd never know, would you?
No. Nope.
I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
Oh, my eyes are rolling now. Fuck it.
I know. All right, Pete, because our lovely Kim Woods is not present, you're going to have to do your best Kim Woods impression. And just roll out the monthly freebies for us, if you'd be so kind.
All right. So your monthly freebies today. Okay. Games of Gold, June 2019. NHL 19, available from June the 1st to the
30th. That's a motorbike going past your house.
Right. Rivals of, how'd you pronounce that?
Aether. I don't know.
Aether. Spelled A E T H E R from June 16th to July 15th. And someone's deleted the third one, so I'm not
gone.
Even gonna...
That's gone now.
Oh, there we go. Okay, so Earth Defense Force 2017 is June 16th to June the 30th. And then on PlayStation Plus, June 2019, we've got Borderlands, The Handsome Collection, and Sonic Mania. And then Twitch Prime Games.
No one's been asked to put them in.
We ain't got shit all. So that's pretty much it.
All right.
Hard. Hope you've done your justice. Thank you, y'all.
Where's that raccoon?
Yeah, we do need a raccoon being shot by a shotgun. That needs to be part of our soundboard. All right. Let's talk video games. Let's talk Mark. Why don't we have you things off?
So, got back into PUBG. Had a bit of resurgence on the old PUBGs. So had a few updates and that.
Yeah, we had a nice chicken dinner win on, was it Friday or Thursday?
Yeah, well,
Thursday.
Yeah, we've had one nearly every night, actually. Apart from last night. Last night was a bit, I don't know, last night was one of those things where everything went wrong. I was dying every game, sort of like within 5 minutes. Couldn't even get a weapon. I was getting killed.
Do you know what was wrong? You needed me there.
Yeah. Where were you, Pete? Where were you?
Always welcome, Pete. Always welcome.
Yeah. But yeah, getting back into it, loving it. I did a bit of a robin. I bought something I really shouldn't have done. I bought the season pass. Well, the season card.
Sensible, thing. Mark.
Yeah. So I'm doing all the challenges now to get all the cosmetic skins, which you don't really fucking need, but yeah, I bought the season pass thing.
You bought the season pass for PUBG?
Well, yeah, do you know if you have the seasons where you... Do you know when you're leveling up? Well, you can buy the season card for 1,000 G coins.
You're trying to sell it to us now, ain't you? We know it's just full of crap.
No, this is the same thing you were saying. Your nephew or your son, I believe.
No, right, okay. James... Yes. Claims that in his items he had a 30 level up card. So when you use that, you level up 30 up to level 30 instantly, and you can claim all them goodies. And he claims he didn't pay for that, although they are 2,000 G coins, which is like 15 quid. But he claims it was just there in his in items, and me and Jason were just taking the piss out of him all week, saying pay to win, pay to win. although it's paid address, really. But
right. And now you are paid address.
But no. I bought the season. He's have to buy the season pass as well as that. it's paid address, yeah. But it's, you get extra challenges and stuff, and it's quite good. So.
Huh? Yeah. How much does the season pass again?
1,000 G-coins, which is about £7.
Okay.
And it lasts 2 months. There's 52 days left on it, so it's not like it's just for a few weeks. It's for a good 2 months.
It sounds like he's justifying this now to Jen.
Yeah, I'm trying to, yeah.
Then he's behind you like, what?
Yeah. So, but I've never bought one in the past, and I've been tempted, so I thought, yeah, sod it. I've got back into it. I'm enjoying it. Yeah,
all right.
took the plunge.
Excellent. What else? What else, Mark?
Change of scene. What's left on my list? All right, okay. So this is Sarah's fault. RCGC in the chat. With the Trials challenge, some of the PlayStation 4 people, although you could play Trials on PS4, there's no reason why you couldn't. I can't find the video. So we'll be playing Resogun, a nice current launch title for PS4, as Robin would say, we're keeping current. And we're doing a challenge on it. There's a built-in weekly challenge in the game. So we're going to do that. I'll touch on that later on when we do the sort of like other challenges. But yeah, I've been playing Resogun again. Boy, that game is so good. It's really good.
I've never heard of this game.
It's fabulous.
Yeah, it's from Housemarque.
So it's worth a tenner.
When
it's on PS Plus for free, but...
No, yeah, when it launched, yeah, it was, yeah. So I actually managed to get it free as part of PS Plus. And...
Yeah.
I haven't had PS Plus for a while, and I've just resubscribed because it was currently there was 20% off on subscription, so I've just re-signed back up. So yeah, I've been playing that again. There's been a lot of changes to Resogun, a lot of updates, and it's really good. Getting quite addictive. There's a lot of new game modes now. The current challenge one is called Demolition, and it took me ages to figure out what to do because you don't shoot or anything. You have to just fly around avoiding stuff, and then you explode, and it sends these balls ping ponging around like breakout type thing, and that gets you your points. So, yeah.
All right. I also see that you bought another season pass esque DLC kind of thing.
Well, I managed to get £5 reward credit from the reward system from playing Game Pass games and just generally buying stuff in this Microsoft store. You get rewards, don't you? So I redeemed them points for a £5 credit, which then went towards Forza Horizon 4's new DLC, Lego Speed Champions, which we saw at EGX. No, we didn't see EGX. We saw it at
E3!
E3, that's it. Yeah, fucking my mind's going now. So we saw that at E3, and I like the look of it. A lot of people saying it's a bit childish and that, but I thought it looked really good. So yeah, I bought that, and I've been playing that, and I'm really enjoying it. I really like it. You got this, haven't you, Robin? Yeah.
Me too, and it is joyous. It is fun. It is like the Forza Horizon world looks pretty realistic anyway, but it looks like someone came along and planted life-size Lego trees and all the little animals and all the bits and pieces in the real world, but real height, real size. It's just crazy. It's absurd.
So and everything it's in the universe then is Lego.
Like a separate island, so it's not in the main Forza Horizon world. It's a bit like the other DLC passes where you visit a certain place. So you go to the marker on the map, and it'll say, do you want to transport into Lego World, wherever it is? So you go there, and everything's made of Lego, and it's really good. It's really cool. Everything's bricks like that. I'm a bit disappointed there's only 3 Lego cars you can use. There's a Mini Cooper, which you get off the bat. There's a Ferrari F40, which you can build later on by collecting bricks.
You build the lives?
Yeah, you build your house, you expand your house and everything. I've just got to the point now where I can do the race to get the McLaren Senna Lego version, but we'll do only 3 cars. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of new challenges. There's the usual, all the different race types. There's the ramps, the jumps, the speed traps. So, but
it's silly. It's ghosts.
Yeah, but as well as getting obviously influence and leveling yourself up, you get bricks now for doing certain challenges. And as you collect bricks, you can level up your house and stuff. So,
Mark, come on. You're also not serious. It's Lego. It's silly.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a fantastic new radio station. It plays the best music. It is fabulous. It'll play
Does it play Everything is Awesome?
Yeah. Over and over again. It's the only song on the radio. It? Yeah,
Do you know one thing I wanted to ask as well? You know when you break, because in Forza Horizon 4, when you break walls and you smash into trees, it sounds very realistic.
Yeah.
So as far as smashing into Lego trees and stuff, do you get all the bricks sounding?
Yeah. Do you like in the Lego Star Wars games and everything, when you break something, the bricks all shatter. It's just like that.
Yeah. Oh, excellent.
It's fun. It really is fun. You know what? They knocked the ball out of the park with Hot Wheels a few years ago, the expansion for the Forza Horizon 3, and they've done the same again. This is a complete surprise. It's a lovely bit of fan service. It's a great mashup with Lego and this fantastic brand, which is Forza Horizon, and that doesn't disappoint. And the weirdness, you know, it gets really real because there's Lego people, Lego other Lego drivers and stuff, but you're still your own person in this Lego world. But you can also bring in the real life cars as well. Yeah. So it's your Lego cars are racing against normal cars. It's weird and wonderful.
Brilliant. One of the races is the Lego Ferrari F40 against the real Ferrari F40, which is quite cool. But you drive past one of the Lego houses and there's like little Lego characters on the balconies about just dancing away to Everything is Awesome. It's hilarious.
In Forza Horizon, when your car gets damaged, you know, it gives a ding or a bang or And when your car gets damaged in Lego, the bits fall off your car.
Yeah, you like a full section of a bumper, like the Lego piece just comes off. Yeah, the brick missing. Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Gosh. Would you say you were excited for this DLC?
I was, yeah.
Everything is awesome.
Can I just share, I think, the best example of how excited you were for this DLC?
Yeah.
So, in my WhatsApp chat, at 12:04 p.m., got a message from... I just got a $5 reward, so if you want me to get the Forza Lego DLC, it will only cost us £10 hard cash, LOL, 5 each. 12:04. 12:06. Purchase. Don't buy the Forza DLC. We own it now. I think you were slightly excited.
Yeah, and also, it was scheduled to be released on Wednesday. So at midnight.
You were disappointed.
At midnight, Tuesday night, I thought, right, I'm firing it up. I'm going to have a go at it. Wasn't there. Couldn't find it. So, might be a little bit late. Got up next morning, still not there. What the fuck's going on here? So started tweeting out, and then Rich posted up, and it's right in small print. It wasn't available on that day until 6 p.m., which is, I suppose it's... 6 p.m. Yeah, 6 p.m. for us, which is unusual for a new release, but I suppose DLC might be different. So normally, new releases, as soon as it hits midnight, you've got access to it, but yeah. So I have to wait until 6 p.m. that day.
There you go.
All right.
Yeah. That's good fun.
Yeah, it's really good.
Excellent, excellent. Anything else we need to touch on, or should we move on, Mark?
Just right quickly, I've been playing more of Shadow of War, the Lord of the Rings title. Yeah, really enjoying it. I've just finished Act 1 now. I think there's 3 or 4 acts in the game. So I've got quite a bit into it now. I've just managed to get the ability where... and it's not a spoiler because they advertised this a lot when it was coming out, where you can actually dominate one of the captains and you can have the orcs now as part of your army. So I've got to that point now, so it's just starting to get interesting. I've heard the first act, what I've just finished, is just a build-up, and I've heard the second act is where it gets really interesting. So, yeah, hopefully more to...
They got really kind of hit over the head with the pay microtransactions, and then they completely put them out of the game.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen any of that because obviously we've had this game for a while, but I didn't play it before all this aggro with microtransactions, so I'm not seeing any of that in the game. I can see where they've used them because now certain enemies will drop these like glowing emblems, which is the currency, which I presume is what you used to get the microtransactions with. I'm really enjoying it. It's really fun to... go around in a stealthy mode and just taking out loads and loads of orcs. And it's quite brutal and bloodthirsty. The orcs are as funny as what they were in the first game. So, yeah, really enjoying it.
Excellent. Pete.
Okay, so I've only been playing two games this week. God of War.
Right.
Someone's altered my thing on the show notes saying Good of War. Yeah, God of War. I don't want to spoil anything about the game. I'm up to the point where I'm in a mine at the moment, and there seems to be a whole lot of things to do, and I'm getting a bit confused as to where I need to go. I seem to be backtracking a lot, but if anybody who's played it before, yeah, I'm in the mine, and
I can't remember where it is. But have you met Mimir yet? Have you got an extra companion, Mimir?
No.
Right. Okay. No. He's a great character. No. I've not spoiled anything. I've not said who he is. Still, what.
Thanks, Mark.
Right, okay. Anytime. Cheers. Just come, Stu.
Have you died and come back to life yet?
Thanks, Greg.
Have you met Godzilla yet?
Oh, I've met his mom.
Okay.
Compare this to Red Dead. I'm still there with Red Dead.
I'm
sorry for. I thought Greg was going to cut me off the call he did about four times earlier. It's a great story. It's good, but I feel like there's a lot more going on in Red Dead, and I feel like you've got more missions to do, and you get more attached to the character. I feel like Arthur Morgan for me was someone that you just completely. You're completely attached to straight away after all the intro and
they're totally different games, aren't they?
They are. It's a very fantasized type game, isn't it? God of War, but I do like the puzzle element of it, where you've got to hit the runes with your axe, and you've got to to hit the certain runes or open. You hit the panels and you turn them round so they open a certain formation to open the chests and you get different things. But I don't know. I don't find it as straightforward and as I don't feel as like you can explore like you can in Red Dead. In Red Dead, you can drop into it and you get involved in all of the story, but you can go out and explore, whereas God of War, it's very linear. You've got to go this direction and nothing else. Maybe it's at a certain point in the game you can go back and you can do what you want, but I don't feel like I get that. So I'm with Red Dead at the minute. I'm enjoying God of War. I think it's a great game. I think graphically and the narrative, everything about it is brilliant, but I just ain't there with it yet. It just don't compare to Red Dead for me.
Well, on a good point, it doesn't let up. It just gets better and better. So,
it just still ain't Red Dead. I don't know. Maybe in a week or two. I'm not playing it as much as Katie is, because she spends hours and hours, doesn't she, on gaming per week. I don't get that time, unfortunately. But maybe this week I can spend a few more hours on it and get more into the story. But I feel like I'm already involved. I feel like I've got so far where I'm getting the gist of it. I understand the mechanics of the game, but I feel like I'm far into the story. I just don't think it gives me it don't give me the entertainment and the pleasure as what Red Dead does,
it's more game than your Red Dead, isn't it? It's your usual travel to a bit, you got a kill box, a puzzle, then you travel a bit more. But the way it does it, though, it's just I just think it's just one of the best games on PlayStation. That and Last of Us.
I've not played that, but
I do have a question to ask you. that you've been ingraining yourself to Trials Rising. You've really taken on the whole Trials Rising challenge. You've been enjoying it. So you have done something that I think a number of us thought was going to be a very popular thing. You dove into the track editor. in Trials Rising.
That's right. That's the only other game that I've played. And yeah. I thought to myself, well, I'll play the challenge for the week, which didn't take too long. I thought I got a good time, and I think I'll just move on. Right. And I had the whole day, and I thought to myself, right, okay, I'm going to play God of War. And then I thought to myself, no, hang on. I remember Mark saying before, wouldn't it be cool if somebody just created a track? And yes. I know nobody's done this yet, and I've still not finished it. I've thought to myself, well, yeah, come on, let's just stick on Trolls. Let's go on to the track editor and let's see how it is. And it's quite difficult to use.
It is not user-friendly at all.
No.
All of us thought this would be something very user-friendly, and it's completely not. That is why nobody has yet to successfully make...
Okay. Well, I'm pretty much there. The only thing that I've got to create is, I think, the audience and the background and everything that packs out the whole track itself. The actual level itself I've created. I mean, it's not spectacular. It's pretty easy. It's that difficult to understand and to put together. And there's, when you create a track, if you put something in the wrong place to the millimeter, it feels like there's almost because you can press start and you can test the track. And as you test it, when you let's say I got a barrel and a plank, and the barrel overlapped the plank just slightly, and when I was testing the track, my bike went onto the plank and hit the barrel, and I glitched and I went flying in the air about 60 foot, and I just went all over the place, and I ended up like crashing, and I was just like, okay, well, surely there's got to be some tolerance somewhere. Just a bit of flexibility, because there's amateurs that are approaching this editorial, and I found it really, really complicated, and I've put together a track. Like I say, it's not as exciting and detailed.
It has to be more complicated than the one I put together. I had literally the start in a small hill and the finish, and I was done. I'm like, I can't.
Okay. Well, no, it's a little bit more than that. I've got some exploding barrels. I've got a big run up and a big tunnel and blah blah blah. But I've still got to do bits more to it, and I want to try and get it finished for next week, because I want to try and make it next week's track if I can. If not, then I'll make it the week after. But I thought I'll just go on there because this contest has become a real competitive and energetic part of the show.
Sure.
No. Well, maybe to you, Bongo, but you've not been on for a few weeks, have you? I've not seen your name on this top 10 unless you're just doing shit.
I've moved on.
Okay.
He moved on after the first week, I believe, by the way.
Yeah. It's a Minecraft.
I'm shallow.
I've just been really excited at this contest, so I just thought to myself, right, I'm going to put a track together. I'm enjoying it. It's the navigation, like I say, to move around... Just to move up and down, to zoom in, to zoom out, it's so difficult. It really, really is difficult. And Greg, by the sound of it, you look like you've had a go yourself.
Yeah, I tried it. I did not care for it at all.
I had a go. Yeah, it's difficult. I'm sure it's usable, but it feels like you need a mouse and a keyboard with it.
That sounds about right. Yeah,
very much.
But I put a track together. Good lad. I'm going to name it something very close to me and my brother. And I'm not going to reveal that until I'll send it out. No, Mike's not got ginger balls. But, he has got ginger beard.
the carpet. The
collars and cuffs.
But I spent about 6 hours on it. Like I said, I had the day, and I just thought, oh, I'll just have a go. And I found it really challenging. I thought I'll try and have
try and make a track on the sea and make it swimming orientated, you know, but I just couldn't do it. It was just so difficult. So the next one is on something that's it's something I wouldn't say. Well, it's something that me and my brother know of, and I thought I'll just do it that way.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Robin.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, as well as Lego, I've touched on ODST, which is fabulous. I mean, for a game that came out way back in September 2009 by the original Bungie, which sold like 3 million copies, you know, it wasn't very well received, but it has now found this a place in people's hearts as one of the purest Halo games out there. It's very, very atmospheric. It's good. It has some humor in it. I'm thoroughly enjoying going back in through it again, and maybe I only do that when I'm drunk, but it's well worth playing, and as part of the Master Chief Collection, it's there for you. What I have been playing this week is something which I've thoroughly enjoyed, actually. It's Thimbleweed Park, which has appeared in Game Pass. Now, you may have already heard about Thimbleweed Park. It comes from very, very good stock. Ron Gilbert, him of Maniac Mansion and The Secret of Monkey Island. In fact, some people would say that this is like a spiritual successor of those games. So it's an 8-bit point-and-click adventure-style game. It is extremely sarcastic, extremely funny. I think it won an award for the best comedy game when it came out. It was a Kickstarter, and I think it originally released round about March 2017, somewhere around there. I think they raised the guts of $1 million to make the thing. I believe that's correct, I think. Very, very funny. You may be an FBI agent. There's a bit of mystery behind that, and there's been a murder in Thimbleweed Park, and you've been sent along to do this, to investigate it. I'm not quite sure the girl in it, she may or may not be in the FBI, but she's at least anyway pretending she said something to make me think that there's something else going on there. She is also get tagged on with it's like Scully and Mulder, rules are reversed. She's a helper, a guy has come along to help. And I'm not quite sure if he's in the FBI or not, or in the police, but they've got their own ulterior motives, and it's like this weird little town called Thimbleweed Park, and everyone's kind of odd. So it's old school point and click, but with a modern spin. 8-bit looks like shit, but the dialogue and the speaking in it is fantastic, and it's very, very funny. So I'm working my way through that. I mean, today I was working this bit it was like a flashback. Yeah. And, there's something happened to a clown at a circus, and why he is a grumpy bastard that he is. And you go back to, you take over the life, or you control the clown for a while. So things that you have to do is sort of like, you know, you have to get his, you know, his makeup on and find his nose and get his joke book back. But this is a grumpy clown, so he goes and curses at everybody, and every curse is beeped out. So he gets on stage and curses and insults everybody. Says, "Oh, you the kid in the wheelchair, you're so friggin' funny. Ha ha ha. Well, you're not even disabled. It's ridiculous. Hey, you with a mole, I hope you've got a ticket for that mole. That mole, you shouldn't be in here as well. It should be terrible. Hey, you with a moustache there. Yeah, the 1970s porn wants it back again." And all the audience start crying. And then this witch comes on and puts a curse on him. And he was going off to his fantastic house in Aspen. And he had bought money, all his shares in this big, fantastic company. And he was going up to meet his lover in Aspen. This is the clown. And he comes back out after the show. And his solicitor comes in and goes, "Yeah, your wife's on the phone. She knows about your mistress, and she's left you, and she's taken everything you've got, and she's taken all those shares. And, oh, by the way, that company went boom and bust. Oh, and your private jet, it crashed on the way here. I know you're supposed to get it right now. Yeah, that's gone as well. You still got the house in Aspen, but there was a fire in Aspen, and your house is burnt down. So, yeah,
I would just like to say that Mark's expression through all of this is how I feel right now.
It's very funny. It's very, very good. So when you use that point and click, and it's quite advanced, so it's like use and push. But you're thinking like use balloon. So you choose the, you know, the use. You choose the item, and so you like use balloon with animal corpse. You know, so you can make up the, you can do such a weird, wonderful things with it. It's right up my street as far as the humor is concerned. If it's in Game Pass, give it a whiz. It probably, if you were born after 1990. You know, 1985, you know, it probably you've never played Monkey Island or any of these sorts of games, these Ron Gilbert games.
Love Monkey Island.
Okay, well, if you like Monkey Island, you'll love this. So it's that
11,
sort of style.
Was it 11 discs on the Amiga 500?
Oh, I can't remember. Yeah, but it's good. It's good fun.
All right.
Good fun. So, yeah, that's what I've been at.
Thimbleweed.
Nice.
Thimbleweed Park. Okay. That's me.
Yeah. Excellent, excellent. By the way, ODST, my least favorite Halo game.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I think it was because I wanted, it came right after the heels of Halo 3. And it still felt similar. I wanted it to be very different than Halo 3.
It was alien because you had to use health packs and you didn't regenerate.
Yeah, and I didn't think that was enough of a distinction.
It also took a lot of stick because at a short campaign, it was charged at $60 when it came out. So it felt like it was bad.
Is that one where they introduced firefight mode? Though? That's quite good.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That was the saving grace.
Yeah.
All right. Me, PUBG, Trials Rising. We talked about it already. We don't have to go into it. However, I also am playing a game on Xbox Game Pass, Metro Exodus.
That's a big one.
Yeah, it was announced at E3. This was actually just came out, 3 months back in March, I believe. So was excited to give this a whirl. I kind of get why it didn't do so great. The dialogue, the writing in this game. It's made by, I believe, it's a Polish team, if I'm not mistaken, that makes the Metro game.
Yeah.
And it comes through in the writing. The dialogue and the writing from a Western perspective, and maybe I'm being unfair here, but it's very wooden. It's very B-movie level dialogue. It just feels forced. It doesn't feel natural. So I struggle a little bit with the writing, but visually, gameplay, mechanic-wise, this game is excellent.
I think people think about these games with rose-tinted glasses, Greg, because I think the first two games were like that as well. I think they were not really that well polished, and I do think the dialogue was a bit clunky in them as well, but there was an underlying good game behind it all.
Still the same thing. Still very much the same thing. One of the things that I like in this game versus the previous ones, they used to use ammunition as kind of a currency.
Yeah.
And so there was real ammunition scarcity, which in a shooter isn't always the greatest thing. And so that doesn't feel as much an issue anymore. Ammo is not a currency this go round. So you're not kind of having to have that trade off of, do I spend the ammo? Do I keep it? The story itself, basically you're playing the role of a character who believes there is more than just living in the metro tunnels. Of Russia, that there has to be survivors beyond that, and this kind of stems back from the previous games. You heard a radio signal, and so you kind of know there's something bigger out there. And so where I'm at in the story is I've kind of just discovered some of the reasonings why previously you may or may not be hearing from anybody outside. It's no secret, though, that you do make your way outside because we've seen the trailers from E3 and years back where they're on a train. And so you know they actually make it topside. They make it outside of the metro tunnels. So not a big secret there. But mechanically speaking, this game is fantastic. The audio in it is also really good. You can get some great use. If you have a nice stereo headphones or a good sound system, you'll get that nice directional sound coming out of it. And there's going to be some crafting elements to it, just like in the previous games. So I only about 30 minutes into it so far. I just really started it up between last night and today, so haven't gotten terribly far into it. But so far, enjoying it, and I think I'm enjoying it mostly because it was Game Pass. If I had paid $60, I might be having some remorse. And the dialogue just feels so wooden.
I've played the first game. I've not played Last Light yet, but you had to change your filters quite often.
Yes.
And if your mask got damaged, you have to change your mask. Is that still a thing in this?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I got into a firefight and I took a ricochet bullet off the mask and it cracked the mask, and I had to repair it to slap some tape basically onto my mask. Eventually, I'll have to find a new mask.
Yeah.
It was very, the first games were very good at building tension.
Yes.
So I don't know, hopefully this is the same. It was that Alan Wake, not scary, but hair in the back of your neck scary when you were sort of going through a dark tunnel.
Yeah,
that was the word.
Yeah.
Atmosphere.
Frick. Yes. Frick. They do utilize sound, and that's really the primary thing. At one point, I was crawling through a wrecked train car in one of the tunnels, and I heard a creature jump on top of the train car. So I knew it was up there, and I could hear it walking as I was moving forward. And then, of course, you come to a doorway that you're going to have to come out, and I'm thinking to myself, I know this thing's on top of the train. So as soon as I jumped down, it jumped down with me. You do get those kind of tense moments. And the audio in this game, I think, is really good in helping build that out. And visually, again, you can see it on screen. It is a gorgeous-looking game. Really shines in 4K.
Yeah, James in the chat, he's started playing this as well, Greg from Game Pass, and he's put, you can repair your mask at a workbench, and it just costs some resources.
Okay.
So rather than replacing the whole mask, you can repair it. So
it's just, as Lego would say, Game Pass is...
By the way,
this is awesome.
I see right now on that they just played it. That was the moment where the creature was on top of the train car. So Metro Exodus. Look, if you have Game Pass or Game Pass Ultimate, in fact, I'm going to take a quick PSA moment and talk about Game Pass. So Microsoft announced Xbox Game Pass Ultimate at E3.
Oh, yeah.
What it's basically doing, it's combining Xbox Live Gold, Xbox Game Pass for the Xbox One, and Xbox Game Pass for PC into one membership cost. It's basically $15 a month, and I don't know what that equates out to pounds in the UK, but I'm sure it's something similar, minus five, plus a couple here or there. Right now they have an offer out, and I believe it's ending soon. So if it may have already ended. I don't know. But you can sign up to Game Pass Ultimate for $1. It will then give you 1 month of Game Pass Ultimate, and I should say Game Pass Ultimate for $1. It will convert any of your existing Xbox Live Gold membership and Xbox Game Pass membership, the standard one. It'll convert that to Game Pass Ultimate. The key here is it's converting it at a 1-1 ratio. So if you had, say, a 12-month subscription to Xbox Live Gold, you pay the $1 to sign in to create Game Pass Ultimate. It will then convert those remaining 12 months of Xbox Live Gold and stack that on top of your 1 month of Game Pass Ultimate, effectively giving you 13 months of Game Pass Ultimate. And that goes for regular Game Pass or Xbox Live Gold, whatever you want to count, it will convert that at a 1-to-1 ratio. It's a tremendous deal. Even if you don't plan on continuing with Game Pass Ultimate, this is a way to extend your memberships. So what I mean by this is, if you have Xbox Live Gold paid out for, say, 12 months and you decide you want to do this the Game Pass Ultimate, it will convert all of that into a 13-month subscription.
You're basically getting a year's Game Pass for nothing. You can go back to normal deal. Xbox Live or you can carry on. Yeah.
That's
Scott Subby in the chat says it's 10 of our pounds and 99 of our pence.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Just think what we've had in a year as far as a Game Pass subscriber. I've played on tons and tons of stuff. There's too much to select.
And all those games, most of those games we saw at E3 last week when we did our live stream of
all coming.
Most of them are coming directly to Game Pass.
Yeah.
Simple Weed Park.
Yeah.
And look, I mean, I know that there's PS Now, which is very much kind of an equivalent type of service where you're paying a monthly subscription fee and you can play kind of unlimited games off of PS Now. The main difference between PS Now and Xbox Game Pass, Ultimate or just regular Game Pass, is Game Pass is getting day one Xbox exclusives on there. Yeah. They've been really aggressive about getting games to launch. Typically, they're more indie titles, but they're getting indie titles launching day one into Game Pass. And I think that is a big differentiator. And what is so attractive?
Hold on a second. Halo coming, Forza Horizon, Gears, all of their first-party stuff is all coming to there. So as well as the indie stuff.
I did mention that, did I not?
Did you? I don't know.
Yeah, he was touching on it.
Sorry, I was, jeez, wow, heavy, wow, good. Yeah. Tuned out there, man.
Son of a bitch.
I've done too much of that LDS.
He's getting used to the 50.
Exactly.
September
10th, Gears of War 5 on Game Pass. Saying. All right. But let's move off. Let's get into Robin. Do we have a quiz? Did I hear
you? We have a quiz. Can I have some quiz music there, please, Mark?
All right, now everybody get set. Get away from the windows. Now look. Good. It's time for the quiz. Yeah, you know what? Oh, too bad. Tough.
Excellent. Unfortunately, Nicole couldn't get us through a quiz tonight, so I've made a quiz. What I call this quiz, the title of the quiz is Which One Said It and What Doesn't Matter When, Just What They Were Doing When They Were Saying It, or WOS, WI, WSM, WJET, WD, WT, WSI for short.
WTF?
So, which of these famous actors were in which games? Okay, so it's famous actors in which games. Are you okay there, Pete?
Yeah, I'm all sure. Right, yeah, I'm
all right. Yeah, I'm all
yeah?
right.
he's lost it for the first time. That's good. It has to happen. So it popped your cherry. Okay, John Goodman was in some of these video games, or one of them in particular that I'm thinking about. So, which video game was John Goodman in? Was he in Spyro? Was he in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2? Was he in Rage? Was he in Ori and the Blind Forest? Or was he in Mass Effect 1 and 2? John Goodman. You know, the big guy?
When you say in, was he as a character?
A voice actor. So, Spyro, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Rage, Ori and the Blind Forest, or Mass Effect 1 and 2. John Goodman.
Fucking options.
You know, King Ralph.
I know, it's a lot of choices. Do we get an A, B, C, or D, or do we just have to guess that? Well,
I don't care. If you remember a name, if you want an A, B, C, or D, I can do that. I can do it in numbers. I can do it in hex if you want it as well. Whatever you want.
I would like or you can.
So, that's still the fucking same. It's 1 to 5. there's not 16 choices here, Greg. So, Spyro, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 2, Rage, Ori and the Blind Forest, Mass Effect 1 and 2. Which was King Ralph, John Goodman? What was he in? What was he a voice actor in? And Marco, he is saying Ori, beats in Modern Warfare 2, and Greg is saying Rage. And Greg DeLacy is absolutely right. In Rage, he was Dan Hager. Very, very good. Well done. Well played. Did you know that, or was that a guess?
Didn't know that. I didn't.
Very good.
I just picked Ori because I know Robin liked that game.
Okay. Next question. Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer? Yeah.
And his dad?
Yeah, right. 24.
Was he in Fallout 4? Was he in Spyro? Was he in Metal Gear Solid 5? Was he in Ori and the Blind Forest? Or was he in Mass Effect 1 and 2? Kiefer Sutherland, 24, designated survivor, blah, blah, blah. Fallout 4, Spyro, Metal Gear Solid, Ori and the Blind Forest, or Mass Effect 1 and 2? And everybody says Metal Gear Solid 5, and yous are all wrong. I'm very, very sorry.
Wow. Fuck
off. Sorry. Hold on. Sorry. my teeth moved. You're absolutely correct. He was, of course, in Metal Gear Solid 5. Very, very good. Had to do one that everybody got right.
There was a lot of controversy about the normal voice actor who does Snake. He was not chosen over Kiefer.
Fun fact, by the way, I believe he also was in Call of Duty World at War.
Yeah. He was, yes, yeah. Correct. He was indeed. Okay, last Bauer. One.
Go on.
Last question. Gary Oldman. Okay, we remember Gary Oldman, classic actor, lots of sci-fi stuff. Was he in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2? Was he in Mass Effect 1 and 2? Was he in Ori and the Blind Forest? Was he in Spyro, or was he in Grand Theft Auto 5? One answer in already. Mass Effect, GTA from Greg, and GTA from Mark. Ooh, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. You are wrong. Believe it or not, Gary Oldman was in 3 of the Spyro games, and he played...
Wow. All right.
Dragon Ignitus, which is really strange for him, you know, Gary Oldman in Spyro game. So there you go. So there's your quiz. That was the Which One Said It and What Doesn't Matter, just what they were doing when they sang it, or for short, WOSWIWSWNGATWWGTWSI.
/ WTF.
That's what I call a quiz.
I would point out I have pulled into a tie with Pete as well as Kim.
Have you put my points?
Have a point?
Did you get any points? You did. You got 1 point.
Yeah.
I can have a point.
Can I just say that 4.5 of your points is probably from spinning the decks?
No. You have to host.
And host.
You'll get 0.5 if you're doing the quizmaster.
No, it's hosting then.
No, it's quizmastering. Quizmastering. I've only quizmastered once.
Oh, quizmastering. Quizmastering, that's right. Yeah, well, if you're hosting, it's probably easily quizmastering. Yeah,
I'm just being competitive.
There you go. Thank you very much, everybody, for that quiz. That was wonderful, Robin. Thanks for sending it in.
So, talking of quizzes, the season ends with a Victory Achieved season at end of June. So in July, we're going to have a new audio quiz.
Ooh!
I love the
breath. There was lots of news this past week from E3.
Here's the fucking news.
And as Keanu would say,
then check this out.
Exactly. We had a bunch of predictions we did for E3. Yeah. So I thought, one, we would have a quick roundtable about E3. There's lots of talk that's gone back and forth. Is it dead? Is it no longer relevant? My take on E3. I think E3 showed it's still relevant because it got the world, not just the industry, talking about games once again, talking about hardware, talking about new games coming out. And even though it was a bit muted, that there a lot of, I think, what we're going to see for next generation was held back a bit. So we didn't get a lot of the big bombastic announcements that we were kind of hoping for or expecting. I still think E3 showed its relevance. Sony even did some of their announcements leading up into E3. They didn't have to. They had Death Stranding out there. They made sure they were part of the conversation, even if they weren't really at E3. So I'd like to think E3 is going to stay relevant, and that it will continue to be not just a time for announcing information, but a time for celebrating games. And I think that's really what E3 is about. E3 is about the celebration of video games.
Fucking Sony won E3.
By not being
smashed
there.
Smashed it.
Yep. Not even then, I'm still won. Yeah, right.
Yeah, some people say it. I'm here. I enjoyed it. I was busy, but cut the main Microsoft conference and cut everything up afterwards. And it still is relevant. I think it's changing dramatically. I don't know how necessary it is for the companies as a place to sell games for Christmas, which was the usual, it was the thing. But I think it's more relevant for the gamers as a time to announce big, exciting stuff rather than companies that buy stuff any longer. So that event really focuses us at all.
I can believe how much one of them events cost. Like, Phil Spencer was talking to the Inside Xbox team, and he was saying it cost him tens of millions of dollars just to put that show on. Tens of millions.
Jesus Christ. Hey, look, the last trade show I did in Dublin, which was a trade show stand about the size of here, I had a budget of £50,000 for it. That's a lot of money, and that's a local show, so I can just imagine what that is. Sound, light, hotel, travel.
But they used their stage as the gaming booth afterwards, didn't they? So it was quite clever.
The space on the floor alone before, because all of a sudden when you want an electrical supply, it's like £200 a plug. You know, it gets nutty.
But it's all the material that you give out as well.
Yeah.
Saff things like leaflets, pens, mats to put your drinks on, anything. It's printing costs an absolute fortune. So I can understand.
Yeah. That's why Sony do it now. They just sort of handwrite stuff, you know, this is how you play secondhand games, you know, on a card sort of thing, and, you know, record it like in a wee handheld phone sort of job.
For the players. You know,
I think it's a fantastic spectacle. I think it's good. But I do think it was lesser, especially because Sony wasn't there this year. I missed Sony. I love Sony, and I missed not being there.
No, I definitely agree. I think Sony needs to come back. I hope that Sony recognizes that, you know, again, I look at E3 and I agree that I don't think this is a necessary show for these different companies to sell their games to store outlets. You know, Walmart's, the Tesco's of the universe, they're going to have their own connections now. They can get, you know, videos easily, you know, not needing to be at a show for that. But I still stand by this notion of E3 being more than just a trade show. It really is a celebration show of our industry at this point. And so I think that, you know, quite honestly, the big publishers have a duty to embrace this, to help our industry celebrate video games, to show that this is a medium not just of, you know, Phil Spencer kind of talked about it on the Giant Bomb interview.
That was a good interview,
He said, you know, it's important that, you know, we get out to the world that this industry is not made up of a bunch of kids in their basement, you know, talking about, you know, headshots and cursing online, that it is an art form. It is so much more than just what that preconceived notion is. So
fucking right, dude.
Yeah. So that's where I think E3 is important. It is that celebration, you know, and it is, you know, kind of announcing to the world we are a true entertainment form.
But do you think, like, if Sony had been there and they had a show Death Stranding again and had a show The Last of Us 2 again and said, like, you know, well, we don't have lots to show you, but here's where we are. The Sony fan base would have still loved it. It would have been good fan service for them. And no matter what they say, I'm sure the Sony guys that are really invested in Sony in a big way are, if they admit it, they're disappointed. Pointed that Sony wasn't there either.
Yeah, I think everybody's disappointed Sony wasn't there. And I will say this: I think Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo, you know, one of the big things, and now Stadia. Let's not forget Google Stadia.
Things that they have,
an additional duty to is that, you know, they need to be the spotlight for the third party games, for the indie games, for those, you know, companies that don't have these mammoth budgets. They can help generate hype for games that we would never know. Cuphead is a prime example. That game came out of nowhere, and it would have, I mean, I'm sure it would have gotten some recognition eventually. Because it was on center stage at a Microsoft show a couple years back, it became this thing. And people were like, holy crap, did you see that game? What was the name of that game? I want to see more developers and publishers that don't have the big budgets get those opportunities. And that's what a Sony, a Microsoft, a Nintendo can do. They bring these smaller companies onto their stage and say, hey, we're going to give you a 10, 15 second spotlight. And that 10, 15 seconds can make or break a company.
Here's things. Okay. Did I miss Call of Duty? Was Call of Duty shown through E3 at all?
They always do this. Call of Duty always announces their game prior to the week of E3.
Mm-hmm.
Do their announcement thing, but usually they'll be on somebody's stage. And
usually
not...
on Sony's now, because they've got the sort of like timed exclusive on the maps. Activision don't have a stage presence. Like you say, they normally use a Sony stage, so I didn't see him.
Yeah, lots of Japanese influence with Microsoft this year as well. So they were accused of not having enough Japanese-y stuff. There was lots of Japanese-y stuff this time around as well. For me, I know it sounds odd, but Ori and the Will of the Wisp was something that I really liked the look of. Again, I adored Ori and the Blind Forest first time round. Anyway, loved it, finished it, completed it. Fantastic, and I'm excited about that coming. I know it's not new. As in a new IP, but I'm still loving it. But there was lots of new stuff there, and I know we just got tiny little snapshots of it. Of one thing, there was nearly too many games whizzing through the screen for you to take it all in. So I think there's a really exciting year or a couple of years ahead of us. Other stuff that I thought there was not a lot of was they bought all of those big studios, the 14 studios. We didn't hear a lot of stuff about what they were working on. We didn't hear about Fable, a new Fable, which we all thought was going to happen, the Playground stuff. Mm-hmm. But I suppose maybe, Greg, would be a time, if there's no more general chat, to go through our predictions, because, we're an hour in or an hour and a half in, so.
Yeah, we're getting there. So real quickly, though, Mark, Pete, any quick thoughts, impressions? Your first E3 watching, Pete?
The one thing that I missed last week that I should have mentioned was 12 minutes, and I'm really excited about this game.
Yeah, that
was different. Yeah.
So this is top down 12 minutes of gameplay, and it looks like an assassin or somebody is breaking in and murdering a man's wife, and you're playing the guy, and you've got to pretty much break yourself out of this 12-minute puzzle to try and find out what's going on. And it was mind-blowing to me. And talking to Stu from the Vets, he said that it could go on for 3 hours, apparently, from what the devs were saying. It was 3 hours of gameplay. Was it 3 hours or 9 hours? It was a crazy amount of time. And I thought, wow, playing 12-minute loops, this is nuts. That really stuck out to me, that game. And Gears release date, I'm a big Gears fan, and I was hoping on a release date, and I got that. And the next gen console, you knew that was coming. Well, I thought it was anyway. But the Star Wars game for me stood out as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't expect that, and I didn't expect it to stand out as much as it did, and I enjoyed the 12 minutes gameplay that they've shown. It was obviously somebody that known what they was doing that was playing that, but it really gives you an exciting insight as to what the game's about, and I thought that was really cool. I enjoyed what I saw of I didn't watch a lot of it. I didn't watch Bethesda. I wasn't expecting much from them at all. I didn't even bother going into Bethesda. I just caught up that through the WhatsApp chat.
Yeah.
Right.
Quick recap for me. Microsoft's conference, really enjoyed that one. The Bethesda one was pretty poor, really. They've not been top-notch the past couple of years anyway. The Square Enix one, a lot of Japanese stuff, so it didn't appeal to me. I want to be hopeful for the Avengers game, but a lot of people are shitting on it. Greg DeLacy?
Yeah, I've seen more gameplay of it. I want it to be good, too.
Even the Ubisoft this year, I'm a bit of a Ubisoft fanboy at heart, a bit of a closet Ubisoft lover. I thought theirs was a bit disappointing this year as well.
You weren't excited for the Ubisoft Pass announcement? $15 a month?
Well, no, it's on PC. Well, it's not coming to Xbox, is it? But it's not that just the game just shown. I was hoping for some more stuff, but yeah, didn't get it. I think everyone was hoping for a Splinter Cell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, yep. All right, let's dive into our predictions. So,
okay,
here's what's going to happen. I will read through all of our predictions, with the exception of Pete's. Pete, hopefully you were able to find yours.
Yeah, I got some. Yeah.
Okay. And what we'll do, as a body of people, we will rate whether we count it as correct. So a full point, as in they nailed it 100%, or if they more or less got at least half of it right, give them a half point. And we'll figure out who had the best predictions. I know some people played it extremely safe. And
she always does.
Or pretty highly. But that's what it is. So here we go. Mark, you are first up, right, with okay.
Oh, shut up.
What the hell that was?
Sorry, that bit was censored. Will you never hear the real reason for it?
Fair enough. Mark, here we go.
Yeah.
For Xbox, you said Fable 4 finally revealed with trailer and on-stage demo by Playground. Thank you for adding that sound effect. Yeah. That's perfect. Halo Infinite gameplay shown on stage.
Well, it was sort of, wasn't it? Yeah. It was game engine footage.
It was the start of the game. I bet you that's the start of the game.
Real game engine footage. Half point.
It was half point. Yeah.
You take for the character, look up, look down, look left, look right, and then you start playing the game. So,
All right. Finally, the Elite Controller version 2 is announced, and it was.
Yeah, that was a bit. Okay.
Yeah.
Just going back to that, the controller, super price point, fuck that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I pre-ordered. all right, Nintendo, Xbox Game Pass coming to the Switch. No.
Hang on.
Let's keep consistent with the sound effects here, kids.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Yep.
As
more predicted, stupid stuff, please.
There will be a Switch XL announced. A more portable Switch is announced. You were really sticking with, they were going to give us a different model. So that was a big zero on Nintendo. But, you know, again, you got 1.5 so far with your Microsoft predictions. On PC, you said Game Pass will come to Windows 10 Store.
Stop it, Robbie.
It can't stop it.
Kick him, Greg.
I know. Gotta kick him. You said Steam announced they matched the Epic Games Store revenue split to upset Epic movements or momentum.
I didn't watch a PC show, so did it happen?
They did not announce that. Steam could give a fuck. They just keep going. Red Dead Redemption 2 gets a PC release date in Q 2014. All right, so you've got 1 point there. So far, not bad. 2.5 points out of your crazy predictions. Third party, you said Dragon Age 4 gameplay shown during the EA Play.
Ow.
Ubisoft Watch Dogs 3 announced with trailer. You get this because it's Watch Dogs Legions, which is the third. You also said under the Ubisoft conference there would be a new Splinter Cell game announced. So 1 point there. So Mark, overall 4.5 points.
Does Rainbow Six Quarantine count as a Splinter Cell game? No. It's worth a try, won't it?
Should we just do the people that are here, or should we do everybody? What do you want to do here? Should we dive in?
Just if they're not here, they're not really interested, are they? Really?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, no. We're an hour and 45 in already, so.
Fair enough. Robin, I don't know.
I didn't have many.
Yeah, apparently.
I wanted Anaconda to drop. It didn't. It dropped, but sort of. Not quite as quickly as I wanted. But yeah, it's quick enough. I wanted Xcloud, big style. Definitely got that. And that was it. I wanted Splinter Cell, so 4 points. So, but Xcloud is the thing I really wanted, and that's coming very soon.
All right. Fair enough. Okay, for me, new Xbox announced with a small amount of specs, but no price, and launch date
That's 2020. When there. New Ninja Theory game announced coming 2020. Ding.
Yeah, that's that.
Yes.
Yeah, Overwatch style piece of shit.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Very, very, very Overwatch. A 4v4 combat game.
Yeah.
Then I said Microsoft announces two new studios, Crytek being one of them. I was off by at least one studio, but. Yeah. So it was just one studio announced, yeah. And it wasn't Crytek.
Yeah, double fine.
Yes. Nintendo. New Nintendo Switch model announced this holiday. New proper Mario game announced.
I hear that noise.
This was my favorite prediction. I wish it'd come true. Rockstar bringing Agent to Switch as an exclusive. That would have been so grand. Red Dead Redemption 2 getting PC date. Valve unveils VR Half-Life game exclusive to Steam.
Is that true or not? I don't know. No.
Star Citizen finally gets an announced official date. It's coming. We're all going to play it. A new Splinter Cell game is announced by Ubisoft.
It's a bit of a theme going on here.
The new Avengers game. Bethesda demos Starfield. And my final crazy prediction. A new Metal Gear game is announced. So I get 3 points. Mark, so far you're killing it with 4.5. But again, I do believe there's somebody out there that did, very, very, very safe predictions. Pete, why don't you walk through yours? We'll criticize you the entire time.
Okay. Gears of War 5 has an absolute depo release date.
Yes. I mean, honestly, how safe did you get? Come on.
I know. But I did predict a new Metal Gear Solid. I said Halo has got to make a...
Oh, shit.
Halo has most certainly got to make an appearance, but I don't honestly think it will include gameplay of Infinite. My prediction is there'll be some pre-footage of Halo live action series.
Yeah. Running through every sound effect you have right now. Is that what's going on?
But at the end of that, I thought that, you know, it would reveal the new X-Gen console.
We were hopeful.
Yeah. You know, I mean, they did announce...
The scratch, didn't they?
Yeah.
They did a bit of a VT with all the specs. So.
Yep.
You have to give that
a tick. Please, Bethesda, that's what I said, give us more Starfield. But, knowing Bethesda, they'll just give us more Fallout 76. They could either reveal...
We opened with an apology, didn't they?
Yeah.
They could reveal a new Avengers or Batman game. What else have I said? Shoot 'em ups on the Switch.
Don't.
Yeah, that was like thin.
Well, I said COD, so yeah, I'll say that's a no. And they give us a release date of a Switch Mini. What else did I say?
You've said a lot of things so far, Pete. You started off strong, I will say this.
Yeah.
Did you not mention Gears?
No, he did that at the very beginning.
I did mention that.
You're 5 points right now. I know that.
I'm trying to think of anything else. No, that was pretty much it. Reading through the email, I did predict a COD releasing on Switch as well with the new Activision game, but that they announced beforehand. I think it was before.
Right.
E3 that they was just going to release on every platform apart from that. So,
I think I gave you stick for that. I was like, way to go, Pete. Go out on a limb.
I know.
That last week. All right. So I did not count yours up, Pete, but I think you're either at 4 or 5 points, which means you and Mark are like neck and neck somewhere in there. And I think Kim's going to beat you both because
it's
the safest predictions possible. But alas, that was it. That was it.
Kim's predictions, there will be people at E3.
I know.
There will be stalls. It will have sound.
Okay. Speaking of games, let's talk about the new release calendar coming up June 15th to June 21st. You can get these lovely games wherever you might play your games. Well, maybe. Bloodstained, Ritual of Night, coming to PS4, Xbox One, and PC on June 18th. It's also going to come to the Switch June 25th. Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled. That's the worst name possible.
It is. Honestly. It doesn't roll off the tongue nice, does it?
I think my quiz might win, you know.
Possibly. It's coming to the PS4, Xbox One, and Switch on June 21st. And finally, if you've been wanting to be judged, Judgment will be coming on the PlayStation 4 on June 21st.
Is that is that the new Yakuza type thing?
I believe. The new Yakuza game. Yes. Anyway, so there you go. Those are your new releases. Not a ton coming out on the heels of E3.
Witcher 3 is coming to the Switch, so that's a big thing for a Switch.
Actually, yes. And Banjo-Kazooie coming to Ultimate Team Smash, whatever it's called. Save me. but yeah, so...
Smash things. Smash. Smash sisters. Smash something like that. Yeah.
Hey, Mark.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Something really important. I mean, you know, aside from the other game. Trials Rising Challenge.
Yeah. So we've just had challenge number 14. Clocking them up now. This track was on Below Bucharest. I'd not even looked at this track. I just picked it. It's a bit of a tricky track. It had a bit of a 2D section, which threw me off a bit. So here are the top 10. Oh, we have a new rider this week. The Real Defoe bought the game about an hour before the close of the challenge, and sadly his first time didn't get in the top 10. here's the top 10.
Yeah. He posted his time. Yeah, he posted his time, and he was all excited, and he's like, how does that compare? And I told him the top time, and he's like, fuck.
I was confused on how he got there, though.
Yeah.
It takes some...
Because you got to
unlock... It takes a few hours of gaming to get there.
Yeah, you got to unlock Europe, haven't you? You reckon you just got that picture off the internet, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, yeah. He just snapped it off Google.
So, in 10th place is our very own Kim, GamerGirl, 58.752. In 9th place, our PS4 player, It's Only Martin 1, with 56.636 seconds. In 8th place is Pete, the legit Chinny, 56.245. In 7th place, who beat Pete again, is me, with 55.444. In 6th place, Chubster999, 54.441. 5th place, Martin C1984, 54.382 seconds. In 4th place, he's finally been knocked off the top spot. It's Snoogans, 53.936. In 3rd place, Murphy's Law, with 52.926. Who thought he had 2nd place nailed? And Womble, who thought he had 1st place nailed, with 51.615. But beating out everyone this week, he's back on form. It's Lewis, playing skills, 51.235 seconds. So well done, Lewis.
This is annoying, this game, right? It's so much hard work to shave a second off your time.
Yeah. It's hard to shave 0.2,
To shave 5 and get to like playing skills in 51 seconds and be 5 seconds off my time is unreal. I'll take my hat off to you. That's nuts.
It must have taken me 15 attempts just to get that 55. There's no way I'm getting down to 51 seconds.
Well, Greg, like you're third and, you know, I ain't even 40 yet and you're knocking 4 seconds off my time and
Well, there were two key spots in this run where you had to kind of do some trick moves. So one was right at the beginning.
Yeah.
So literally from the very start of the track, you fall off the ramp. So the first thought is you just go right into the ramp and then go back down. But you fall off of it. You get to the very end, and you stop. You don't actually roll right off onto the ramp.
There's another ramp halfway down.
Yes, you drop the ramp below.
Headshot.
You jam across, and then when you get into the 2D tunnel, where it's like the
expand through a bit, don't you?
Yeah. So there's you going through the loop, and you'll go into the big loop, and as the very top of the big loop, you need to break again and drop because you can drop to a shortcut underneath.
I didn't see that.
I should have. That's why it's important to follow it. You got to follow their ghosts. Yeah, I just followed Joe's
right, Leonard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the challenge is if you're following somebody's ghost, but they're faster than you, you're never going to see them do those things. But so that was a way to shave off a good 3 to 4 seconds. But other stuff was just nailing some of the jumps. And so there's a series of jumps where you had to kind of jump up over some signs.
Well, I went through them.
Yeah. So eventually you started going under them.
Yeah. Under them, yeah.
Faster than doing that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so fun challenge. Loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
So the next one, challenge 15, will be on the Flying Fin, again using the Rhino bike. And this is another one I've not even looked at. So if it's shit, tough. Get your times in by 7 p.m. next Sunday. If you're on my friends list on Xbox, I can get them on the leaderboards. If not, either tweet them at Mechanics, send them on WhatsApp or on our Facebook page. So yeah, well done, Lewis, and it'll be interesting to see what that does to the overall leaderboards now.
I'm excited. Another week.
Yeah. Right, quick, can I just cover this other one?
Yeah.
So Sarah messaged me, RCGC, one of our most loyal listeners. She doesn't have Trials Rising. She doesn't really like that game, but she wanted to get some of the PS4 community involved in some challenges. So this new current game called Resogun, which is a PS4 launch title, but it's a superb game, that has weekly challenges built into it. So we've been doing them now. So this week's has just been a bit of a test for me, but I'm gonna track this upcoming challenge. So it's officially challenge number 233 on the Resogun menu. It officially finishes at 1 a.m. on a Monday night for the UK, but I'm gonna collect the scores at 7 p.m. on Sunday. So if you got Resogun, go into that challenge from Monday and put your best times in. This past week, I've had a quick go on it. It was a demolition course, and it took some getting used to. But there's 5 people took part in it. In 5th place was Kozigan. In 4th was me. John Mao was in 3rd. Sarah was in 2nd. And just beating out Sarah at the last minute was Tuscan. I thought Sarah had it nailed because she had over 9 million score. And Tuscan just pipped her with 10 million. Great stuff, Sarah. And I'm going to start tracking that every week now.
Resogun is a hell of a game.
Yep,
really good.
Yeah.
Solid. Solid.
Yeah. Another game, by the way, that benefited from Sony at E3 and them having them be part of their PS Plus and giving them the spotlight. Yep. Just saying. It's still important.
So,
all right.
With that, if you're not on my friends list on PlayStation, add me or tweet me at Mechanics so I can add your times. Sorry.
No worries. Robin, not only doing victories achieved, but would you mind maybe some shout out loves to those in the Twitter sphere that are chatting away with us, or maybe they're on Mixer. They've been chatting through our restream. Would love to give some love to those that are in the audience.
Yeah, I'd love to say a big, big hello to OQZRV53BYHOKGHIDJD5XBSW5. Very, very catchy name there on Twitch. Nice to have you there. Angel of Flight, Assassin 33rd, Commander Root, Cycle Motion, Joby Essence, Lurks, Nerd Legions, Sarah, RGC, Scott Zombie, V and K, Varoproz, and Zan Kyber. Lots of cool names in there. Hello. Hi.
I preferred the first.
Yeah. I couldn't pronounce it really, but hi. Hi, everybody in the chat. Lovely that you're there. It's lovely having people in the chat. Yes, victory achieved. So what victory achieved is, it's been an ongoing thing. It's been going for several years now. It really is a matter of just encouraging you to finish your games, not to dip in and dip out, you know. This is not the olden days. Finish the games until the credits come up at the end, and you take a selfie of the credits with your happy smiling face. I'll put a chicken on the photograph somewhere, and I'll retweet it, and you will be entered into a free draw. Yep, free draw for money, $20, 15 quid. And in fact, the next draw is coming up very, very soon. It'll be at the end of this month. Our last winner was in the chat, Sarah. Well done. She finished embarrassingly a game called Roundabout. God help her. And this week, the people who finished games and who tweeted off to @OC_podcast with a hashtag victory achieved. This is a historic week. An absolutely historic week. A classical game was finished. John Mouse, the wonderful gentleman that he is, took my advice and he played and finished and enjoyed and said it was much fun. Aliens Colonial Marines. Isn't that brilliant? That's the best victory achieved we have ever had. Don't open your mouth, Greg DeLacy. Ra Finch, lovely to see your entry. He went back and played Portal again. He had a great time with Portal. Great game. And again, it's on, yeah, you can play it on your Xbox Pass. It's there, backwards compatible. Colin All Cars, he finished Detroit Become Human. That's on the PS4, and he had a great time with it. He thought it was pretty good being a robot. Empire, he finished The Division 2, and just in between the shows, myself, I finished The Grand Tour. It wasn't just as bad as it was.
Oh, I played that since the update. It's a lot better, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah. It's a big game. There's a lot to do.
Yeah.
Lots of toilet. I like when you fail, you get toilet.
Yeah.
And I also finished Old Man's Journey.
What did you think?
It was a... Yeah, don't... You deleted your message.
What?
So don't say anything, Greg DeLacy. Old Man's Journey. I had my journey. I thought it was lovely. It was very touching.
Very sweet at the end, wasn't it?
Yes, it was lovely.
Very heartwarming, yeah.
Robin, I might be on old news, but what do you think of the lineup for, is it the new Top Gear?
Don't know.
Freddie Flintoff and who else? I can't remember who it was.
Paddy McGuinness.
Oh, yeah.
Have to see it live. You have to see it actually, you know, put it on paper, one
When's
thing.
It start?
I want to see the new Top Gear firsthand.
Yeah. I actually think it's had its day. The format has had its day. You can't get away with non-politically correct stuff anymore, and that's where a lot of the fun was. And you can't. You have to think about everything now, and it's you can't make
even
fun of.
Comedians can't joke anymore. Come on Twitter or whatever.
You can't say anything at all.
I'm vilified.
I'm amazed we haven't been shut down. So congratulations to all of those people that have finished those games. And for that, as well as an entry into our competition, which will be drawn at the end of this month, you get this.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved.
Tomorrow.
Hey. I want to give a shout out real quickly to Will2Thrill08. I believe he was restreamed in through our chat. So I saw that earlier. It might be through YouTube. I could be wrong. Early in the show. So
I don't know. Thank you. We're all, as restream chats only connected to Twitch. It's been a bitch today as restream.
Well, I saw something come through with the little.
Fucking Windows 98.
Mm-hmm. All right. Where are we at? We are at the end of the show, which means we want to thank everybody that's been watching and listening. Been lovely. We will be back here again next Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, 6 p.m. on Easter Island, 3 p.m. in the Central Time. And if you're in Australia, and particularly Melbourne,
G'day.
Yep. You can catch us on iTunes. We post out our podcast after the show goes dead, dormant on the live stream. It'll be put back into VHS Betamax format for your audio listening pleasure because you don't want to watch that. You can give us a review. You know, check out iTunes. Throw us a nice review. Maybe if you're on YouTube, give us a thumbs up. Give us a review. We'd love it all. We also, of course, throw out all kinds of clubs for basically opportunities for you to game with people. So on the Xbox, we have the Xbox, the OC Podcast Club. We have the OC Podcast Community on PS4. We have the OC Podcast Group on Steam. And God darn it, we have a Discord channel, the OC Podcast Server. So if you want to be part of the future, go to one of those other formats. But if you want something that's destined to probably fail eventually, go to Discord. We're there. We're in your ears. We're in your face. We want to game with you. Find us. Join one of those clubs. You can see when we're on, except for Mark. He stays hidden all the time. And we'll game with you. We love our audience. We want to basically foster fun, good gaming. And this.
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter. @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Fucking Windows 98!
All right, let's get out of here. Shout outs. Pete.
I'm going to shout out. My dad.
Okay.
Oh, lovely.
Serious. Never mind.
Yeah, I'm going to shout out my dad. Me and Mike wouldn't be here, and we wouldn't be the men we were without my dad. So yeah, I'm going to shout out dad. And the only other people I'm going to shout out is my kids for giving me a nice Father's Day. And apart from that, that's me.
Okay. Your dramatic pause, by the way, I was going to just pass over you for a second, but. That was very nice. I can't make fun of you now. Mark?
Yeah, I want to shout out Sarah for the work she's done on the PlayStation Community thing on PS4 and getting this challenge off the ground. I know she said Tuscan had the idea, but she's done all the work behind it, so thank you very much. I want to shout out Jay, James and Greg for some great PUBG action this week. You guys for podcasting, it's always great to podcast with you guys. That's about it. What about you, Robin?
I would also like to thank my mum and dad, because I wouldn't be here or there, so thank you very, very much for Failing and the Rhythm Method. Thank you. Just a wee quick recommendation. I love my Audible stuff. Not often that I listen to stuff like this, but I'm having a ball listening to Kevin Hart, his autobiography. It's called I Can't Make This Up, and it's really, really funny. He's actually reading the book, and it's very, very well worth a listen. And finally, get your ass to Mars. Sorry, EGX. If you can't get the EGX this year, get the EGX and meet us and shake hands and hug and all that stuff and have a drink with us. So I'd love to see you there. So I'm lovely being on the show. Thanks for listening, everybody. And take me home or lose me forever.
Oh, I will. Come EGX, Robin. We've got some spooning to do. Thank you to three of you gentlemen. Love you guys to death. Thanks for being on the podcast. It was a fun show this week. Big shout out to all the fathers out there, including the three of you. And of course, a big shout out to my father. I give a shout out to my mom too, but I already gave her a shout out for Mom's Day, so forget that. Just a shout out to Dad. Big shout out to my son and my wife for making Father's Day special for myself. And I think we can wrap it up at this juncture, right here, right now. We can say goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.